This August, the Bard Music Festival returns for its 34th season with an intensive two-week exploration of Berlioz and his world. August 9th through the 18th, in 11 themed concert programs, the festival examines the life and times of visionary French composer Hector Berlioz, whose grand-scale works, startling advanced literary leanings, helped redefine Romanticism. Christopher Gibbs is the James Ottaway Jr. Professor of Music at Bard College, where he teaches music history in the College and Conservatory for Music. Gibbs also serves as the artistic co-director, together with Leon Botstein, of the Bard Music Festival, and is executive editor of the Musical Quarterly. It's a great pleasure to welcome Christopher Gibbs back to the roundtable. How are you?
Very good. Pleasure to be back.
Wonderful to have you back. So as we look at the Bard Music Festival, before we get into this particular season, the 34th season, and Berlioz, let's talk a little bit about this festival and its importance, and its more than three-decade-long run.
Yes, it's a very innovative festival that's had, I think, a great impact on other festivals around the world, because we do a really deep dive into a particular composer each year and the world around that composer. So that means teachers and students, friends and enemies. And what's also distinctive is that we try to present familiar works so that people come that know what we're playing by Beethoven or Berlioz, but also composers and compositions that have been forgotten. So there's an incredible variety of composers and music that we present each summer.
So first of all, composers have enemies?
Oh, yes. The battle lines. Berlioz is involved with this the so-called War of the Romantics, and figures like Mendelssohn and Brahms felt that music should say pure and absolute and not tell stories, whereas Berlioz and Liszt and Wagner, the other team, so to speak, felt that music should be connected with literature and programmatic music. And so, yes, there are lots of enemies around.
And that's something, as you said, there are all kinds of facets that you want to explore as you go through this, Berlioz and his world. And once you say, okay, we're going to do Berlioz, then what then develops and the discussions that take place that fill out the program and the 2 week season?
Well, it depends a little bit on who the central composer is each year, of obviously exploring their life and who their circle was and training and so forth. With Berlioz, and this is something we're very excited about this summer, he was not only a very significant and great composer in the 19th century, but he was also a fantastic writer and literary figure himself. So he's not just inspired by literature, but he's writing maybe the greatest memoirs by a composer. He was a music critic. That's the way he actually made his money for most of his career. So we could look in some detail at what he said about other composers, what he liked, what he didn't like. And that's made this year a lot of fun, reading Berlioz and having him help us do the programming by suggesting what pieces to look at in more detail.
How do you envision, I guess this is, some people will come to one performance, others will come from beginning to end. And I guess, how does that play into your programming, because obviously each one has to stand on its own, but there is an overall story arc, isn't there?
That's right. Each summer we sort of go chronologically through the career, but exactly what you say is very important to keep in mind, that each of the 11 concerts needs to make sense on its own. And so each one has a theme to it. One this summer, various ones are touch on literature. One is about women musicians in Berlioz's lifetime. And so we think about not only a coherent program, but how that fits into the larger festival. And not surprisingly, we pay a good bit of attention to our opening concert and our closing concert. And the opening one this year, I think, is indicative of the sort of approach we take. We're opening with the Symphonie Fantastique that Berlioz wrote in his 20s and is perhaps his most famous and beloved composition. So there's something that's very familiar. But Berlioz wrote a sequel to it called Lélio, or The Return to Life. And he wanted the two pieces performed together. And Lélio, the second part, is very rarely heard and extremely rarely performed the way he wanted them, the two pieces side by side. And so that's exactly what we're doing to open the festival, of programming a very familiar and a quite unfamiliar work and doing it the way the composer wanted.
In program two, there is, on August 10th, one called Anxieties of Influence, Models, Teachers, and Classmates. Talk a little bit about those anxieties of influence.
Well, Berlioz, as well, is a somewhat unusual composer in that he didn't have the traditional music education. He didn't continue the family business as Bach and Mozart and Beethoven did. His father was a doctor, and he wanted his son to be a doctor. And so Berlioz's training, he didn't play the piano, for example. His instruments were the guitar and the flute, which is completely unusual. And so we looked to who actually was teaching him the mechanics of composition. One fairly famous teacher at the time, Reicha, and some more obscure figures, but also who did he look to, which composers most inspired him. Beethoven was fairly obvious, inspiring everybody, but Christoph Willibald Gluck, a less familiar figure, is another one, and opera composers at the time. And so that's what we're exploring on that program, of the music that he was listening to and were models for his compositions.
Another program on August 18th, and this is toward the end of the festival, obviously, but Berlioz's Transformation of the World of Sound. And that really does, I assume, look at it's a good program to end with, in the sense of to look back and to see what that transformation looked like.
Yes, we usually have our final chamber music concert, because the actual final concert of the festival is the Damnation of Faust, which is a big orchestral choral composition. But usually the last chamber concert looks at composers in the aftermath of our featured one and what the influence was. And sometimes that's very easy to do, you know, with Beethoven or Brahms or many composers we've looked at over the years. We realized with Berlioz, this was a little bit harder. He didn't have students himself. He didn't have followers in quite the way that many composers do. But one of his signal achievements, and something he was very famous for and he wrote a book about, was his orchestration, his use of instruments, his bringing new instruments into the orchestra and featuring them in different ways. And that, once we sort of cracked that, we decided, let's look not quite as much at the sort of actual influence of a particular piece, but of reimagining the world of sound. And of what it happens when you bring in saxophones, a new instrument in Berlioz's time. Adolf Sax was in Paris. And the cornet and use of percussion and so forth. And that sort of gave us our lead of following. If you look at the list of composers, it may not make quite as much sense as it would with some other figures, but it's really sort of the instruments and use of instruments to create different sounds, very 20th century modern sounds at times, that gave us our inspiration for that concert.
As you went through this process and had these discussions, were there surprises for you along the way as to Berlioz and the opportunities that were provided to you in programming?
Well, as I said, it was just a particular pleasure this year because the memoirs in particular are charming and brilliant. And so, yes, it was surprising at times of which composers he very much liked and which he didn't, which he waffled back and forth. Rossini makes a couple of appearances in this festival, including maybe one of his most beloved pieces, the William Tell Overture. And he was sort of a frenemy. Berlioz realized that he was a very significant figure who had done many interesting things, but basically he didn't approve of Rossini's aesthetic and so was sort of counter to many things. And in his memoirs, he's quite honest about his positions, sometimes how they change, how he reevaluates things. And so it wasn't quite as straightforward maybe as we would usually come with a composer because we're getting his own evolving views in his writings over time.
When you, this goes back to an earlier question, but of advice for your audience of how to get the most out of the festival and to enjoy it to its fullest?
Well, we do really two different types of concerts. Some are in the Fisher Center in Sosnoff Hall and are primarily orchestral. So big sound and variety with chorus and orchestra for a number of them. And then some are in our smaller hall, Olin Hall, that are more chamber music, but not a typical chamber music concert that you go to that's a piano recital or a string quartet concert. We mix everything up. So it starts with maybe a song, a vocal work, and then a piano piece, and then a woodwind quintet, and then a string quartet. And so you hear lots of different sounds. That's another innovative quality of the Bard Music Festival. So I think if people are looking on the website of the concerts, they can think about ideally coming for a day and hearing a free symposium in the morning that we talk about various issues around Berlioz, and then an afternoon concert in Olin of chamber music, and then an evening event that's a full orchestral concert. It would be a very rich single day. Of course, we love it of people that over many, many years just come to everything and do the deep dive into the composer each year. And we publish a book each year with the University of Chicago Press, and a very beautiful program book. So there's sort of a lot to read along the way. And we sell as well books about the composer. So this year, if people are really interested, I would suggest dipping into Berlioz's own memoirs.
Bard Music Festival explores the life and times of French romantic composer in Berlioz and His World, runs August 9th through the 18th as part of the Bard Summerscape 2024. You can find out more by going to fishercenter.bard.edu, fishercenter.bard.edu. Christopher Gibbs is the James Ottaway Jr. Professor of Music at Bard College. He is also the co-director of the Bard Music Festival. Christopher, thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure.